Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you in studio once again.
Thank you.
And you're going to be getting into a subject this week that I've experienced personally in trying to close estates, and that is some of the conflicts that can arise,
yeah.
Family conflicts in particular, and you're going to kind of walk us through some ways to get through that.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a topic that we need to address, and we need to look at this issue head on. What I find is that a lot of individuals don't want to talk about this topic, or we breeze over the issue of my family's going to be okay, and maybe we don't give this topic a good due course place in the discussion of estate planning in general. And so I ask a lot of questions through the estate planning process. And I talk about, well, tell me about your kids. Tell me about the ones that I'm going to have to deal with after you. Because I tell people, well, I like dealing with you, but I'm not so sure I'm going to like dealing with your kids all the time. And so there's this ebb and flow, even in my own practice, to where we understand that we're going to inherit the family at some point to help them go through the closing process. So not only is it necessary to have a honest, good conversation about who the family is and what the dynamics are. Do we have somebody who is going to cause a problem and we just already know it? We know that this person is discontent. We know that this person doesn't have a right perspective, or we're creating an estate plan that may actually cue them off. So we need to have an open, honest discussion. We need to look at some options that can resolve and maybe even get in front of this conflict before it actually implodes the family. I talk to a lot of people, and I don't know about anyone else who's listening to this show today, but I've talked to a lot of people, and my personal philosophy is I don't care how much money I have at the end of the day. If it destroys the relationship between my girls, if it becomes a stumbling block in the relationships in my life, then it was all for naught. Then I would have rather given it all away than have anything left. So I think most people want to preserve the family structure, whatever that means. And I understand that we all have different family structures. I mean, there are some families who have amazing relationships, and we look at them and we envy them. And then we have others that have very real, deep-seated issues that that no estate planning is really going to resolve, and we've got everything in between. So, therefore, we got to take this topic head-on, and we need to really address the issue.
Is it just money, or is it personal items that cause conflicts, or maybe a little bit of both? Or
it's everything. So, you know, most people don't get all caught up in saying that I divide things in an equal portion, or sometimes even in an unequal portion. We know how to divide a bank account. So if there's $10,000 and there's two beneficiaries and it says treat each person equally, we know how to do that math and we know how to get to the right answer. And each beneficiary can look at the money issue and say, oh, I got my $5,000. I got half. Everything is copacetic. Everything is moving along in the estate plan as it's supposed to. But yet money can still be a dividing factor, even with clear instruction that one person feels that they were due more. Another person was given money and helped by the parents. And so now all of a sudden, these sibling rivalries, these issues of the family that mom and dad always helped you out, and now you're getting an equal portion of the estate, that's not fair.
You already borrowed $100,000.
That's right. And mom and dad constantly bailed you out, right. And I've been the good kid all along, right? So, yes, even money, even when we think we're doing things properly of saying, well, I'm just going to divide it in half because that's fair. Well, is it really? Have you always treated your kids fairly? No, you haven't. You've never treated your kids fairly. And so you you discipline them differently. You help them out according to their circumstances. They're not the same kid. So we can never treat each child or each person that we come across in our life on the same platform. It's an impossibility. However, we think that maybe leaving things in an estate plan for simplicity, I'm using air quotes in the studio, you can't see, but for simplicity, let's just leave things equally, but is it really that simple in your family dynamic? Because maybe you, like I said, assisted one child over another on a regular basis, and unbeknownst to you, maybe the good child has had reservations or things lodged in their heart that that now all of a sudden come out at the time when we lose someone that we love in the grieving process, or it's just a time without the restraint to go ahead and let it out. And grieving has a strong and big role in the process of estate planning, which is we don't give it as much credence that the people that we love are going to be going through a grieving process, and that is going to change their ability to manage and control their emotions. So how emotionally mature, how mentally mature are the individuals that we're really dealing with, and have they ever walked this journey before? Some have, some haven't. And so all of these things add into the opportunity for conflict. And those are false expectations of that I expected something to have to happen in the estate plan that never took place, and so therefore I don't like it. Another place where there could be a potential of struggle or conflict in an estate plan is one person typically, this is what I see most often, doesn't always happen this way, but this is what I see most often, like high percentages most often, is that there's one person who steps into the family to help out the parents during the end part of somebody's life. And it's rarely an equally weighted contribution at the end of life of somebody. So parents, as we get older, as we start having health issues, as we need more attention, typically, there's one child who is going to step up, and there may not be other children who give as much time and as much energy into the end of life part that we need help with. That is another place where bitterness can start being attached in our hearts, in somebody's heart. That I was there when mom and dad needed help, but you guys were taking care of your own families, or you guys were off doing other things. And even if it's justifiable, right? So mom and dad may justify that somebody lives
live out of the area.
Yeah, lives out of the area, and so therefore can't contribute and do other things, or they have a family, they have their own dynamics, they're going through their own issues. But there is a ripe opportunity for bitterness and hurts and pains to begin to get lodged into a heart, even if that person is doing it out of kindness and love and mercy and genuinely wants to ensure that their parent is well taken care of. There's this opportunity that we know that the enemy wants to play with, that lodges things into their hearts and thought processes into their thinking, that will start creating this wedge and this division, so that when it comes time then to close an estate, usually that responsible child is now going to be given the responsibility to close the estate. So not only did they help you during the last part of your lifetime, now they're going to take on the responsibility of actually closing the estate. They got burdened with all the work, and everyone else just gets all the money. And so these are places where we need to talk about, do we make an additional benefit to someone who has cared for us? We need to have a relationship with our estate planner to make sure that we can make these fine-tuned adjustments, because we don't know what life is going to look like at the end. And so do we have that capacity and that ability to reach back into the estate plan on a quick basis to make these fine-tuned adjustments to ensure that there really is a fairness and an equity, if indeed that's what you want. And so
you can mitigate some of those problems, because you as the parent probably already know where the minefields are.
And you hope that you don't, you know.
Yeah. But you can put some of those things into your estate plan.
Absolutely. And so So not only do we want to look at times of who's going to be taking care of us, who's going to be closing the estate, what does it mean that we've helped one child over another child because they just had a more difficult road and the other one had a good job or a good, was married somebody who has a great financial position, so didn't need to help as much. Are we sure that the family is on board? And that there's nothing left within their hearts that even leaving things equally is going to cause some sort of an issue down the road. Have we had those conversations? And a lot of times we don't have those conversations and we're just believing that things will work out. So, and then another area is just in false expectation of how long a settlement will be closed. So in other words, the family's not well educated. You know, we think that this is going to be closed in weeks and months because I want my money.
Not years.
Correct, not years. And yet, a lot of estates take additional time. Remember, the person that you typically are going to ask to close your estate, they're still going through their own grieving process. What if they are left a little bit emotionally incapacitated due to the event and they need more time to work through the administrative process? Sometimes there's a legal issue that jumps in the way that we did not anticipate, that we could not foresee. And so there's a lot of different things that would extend a closing when we think it's quote unquote simple because everybody wants simple.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there are unforeseen things that we may need to deal with. And what the beneficiary's expectation is that things happen very quickly because their mentality is, I just want my own money
I want to get on down the road.
And by the way, that could be a part of their grieving process too. So I'm not saying that it has to be maniacal, even though I have my doubts. But it doesn't mean that somebody's just greedy. It means that they're trying to move on with their life too.
Well,
and that's the best way they can
greedy.
Do it. It does mean they're greedy sometimes. I absolutely agree with you. This is absolutely true. But here's the deal is that we have known landmines and we've got to sit down and have a good conversation that'll lead us through these landmines and not just simply let the legal document say divide everything equally and que sera sera, I'm done. I've done my good duty and I have paperwork. Who cares? That may or may not actually hit exactly what your family needs from you. And if we take the cheap way out, if we take the easy way out and we just simply ignore it altogether, boy, this is going to set up some of these potential problems and your family's going to pay the price for it. And that's unfortunate. Mm.
Okay. People know they need help with this area, how to help resolve that conflict in estate planning. You maybe know that you have a complicated family situation and you want to maybe mitigate some of those problems with your estate plan. It can be done.
And it can be.
Paul is the man to help you with that. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities. So we got to start with getting good education about what the process would look like. There's past podcasts. There's a lot of opportunity to learn from our previous podcasts. And then there's ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com. Photos.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at family conflicts in estate planning, how to mitigate some of those problems. It can be done with your estate plan. I know, Paul, one thing for me that you kind of alluded to it in our previous segment was the one child who maybe did more to help the parent in the last years of their life. And they've been made the executor of the estate,
yeah.
And that causes a real conflict right there. The executor is one of the kids. The other kids are, they feel like, well, we did our part. Now give us our money so we can go build our house or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
Again,
remodel our kitchen.
Yeah, and why is it taking so long to distribute the money?
Yep.
So how can you alleviate some of that?
Well, here's the deal. How do we alleviate some of these issues from arising? Then the big deal, in my opinion, is that we need to expect conflict, and we don't like that. We don't like to view our family in a model of saying, I'm going to expect them to not act as if we're at Sunday dinner, which is where, you know, mom cooked and now we're all happy because we got a good meal in front of us. Rather, if we expect to have something go wrong in the family dynamics instead of the opposite, which is, I believe that we are uniquely created in the image of our Heavenly Father, and He has consistent, absolute hope that we will continue to seek after Him and grow in our maturity and relationship with Him. And that's how we see our family. I think it's a God-designed thing, which is we forgive their weaknesses. We constantly forgive our children's weaknesses. We look them over. We pass them over. We make excuses for our kids. And then we constantly hope in what we want them to be, not who they are. And so we have this constant hope that they are going to pull themselves out of their circumstance or this anger issue or the resentment issue or the relationship between our kids that is not great will begin to resolve itself. Or the opposite is that we really do have a good family, and it's the furthest thing from our mind to imagine that because someone passes away that all of a sudden something would spark a streak in the family that is unexpected. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen it. I've seen the good family fall apart, and I've seen the unfortunate family get worse. I've also seen some good things come because of estate planning, and families bind together. But I'm far more concerned with what happens if the family dynamics continue to pull apart and shred apart. Now, I want to share for the last little bit that we have together a scripture. It's James 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and has understanding among you? Let him show good conduct that are his works and are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. So in other words, if we're trying to do works that are good, but our heart is not in a right relationship with God, then don't proclaim that this is God doing work through you. Rather, it's probably us trying to do this penitence thing of doing good works because that's what we know we're supposed to. So it goes on in verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For wherever envy, self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. All right, so this is a harsh word so far, is that James is coming right at us saying, look, if you've got envy, if you've got problems in your heart, then it is going to come out in the worst of circumstances. And grieving and death and money tend to bring these portions out in our hearts. And here's the problem with estate planning. We're trying to create something for our kids to where maybe you've had a long, mature relationship with Jesus Christ. You've allowed His word to come into your heart and change you as a person. But is that where your children are? Have they followed after the same passion you have for your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are they at a different place? Well, we have to anticipate that. And we have to anticipate the unfortunate parts that are lodged in our heart that without the Word of God, soothing it over and pulling it out and transforming us by the renewing of our mind, we need to have the expectation and anticipation that some of that stuff may come out at the worst of times. So, is that where your children are? Are they following after, passionately after Jesus Christ, or are they playing lip service in their Christianity, even if they're following after Christ at all? These are dynamics that we need to face and talk about instead of bury and not have any conversation. Now, I have some good news, because after James does this, he comes back and he says, but. So, whenever you find a but in scripture, it depends on whether it was a good sentence and now it's going to say but and you're in trouble, or whether, like this one, there were some things that were going on that didn't look so pretty, and now the author is going to come in and give us a hope. So here's our hope. Our hope is that, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Oh, that's good. That's really good news. Because what it tells me is that I can go to my Heavenly Father and I can seek after Him. As a matter of fact, I'm a broken record with that one here lately. In the past year, I have been on our listening audience to seek after the heartbeat of God concerning your estate plan. What is the Holy Spirit talking to you about? Do you give to ministry? Do you give equally to your children? Do you help them in a certain way, what is your Heavenly Father saying concerning your estate plan? And this but intervenes on other issues. This heart issue, your Heavenly Father has an answer. We need to have it. And when it comes from our Heavenly Father, listen to what it will produce. That it is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you want to make peace? Do you want to make peace in your estate plan? It's an opportunity to speak peace over your family. It's an opportunity to bring your family together. How? By seeking after the heartbeat of God. He has a great plan. And because the Holy Spirit resides within us, then we communicate spirit to spirit with our Heavenly Father, and He will give us that revelation of what we are to do. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's treat your kids equally. I don't know if it's treat your kids unequally. I don't know if it's to give things to charity, to help missionaries. But here's what I do know. When it comes from our Heavenly Father, it is going to produce good. It's going to produce something that is pure, that is peaceable, gentle, that is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit. And so this is where we want to come. Now, this has been a little bit of a harsher word, maybe, an anticipation of expecting family dynamics that are not going to be right. But I want to lead us out with a song just for a couple of minutes. And I want you to hear that we have a solution, and we can go before our Heavenly Father. We can pray for our family, and we can speak the name of Jesus over our family. So let's take a couple minutes. Let's let this word sink into our hearts right now.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name strong.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Beautiful newer worship song, that's I Speak Jesus. Charity Gale is her name. You can find that online. And Paul picked that song out because it just speaks to all kinds of conflict.
It really does.
Conflict this week.
And that's our solution. Jesus is always our solution. And sometimes, specifically with family dynamics, I know we pray for our kids and we're pressing in to see a miracle work in our family dynamics, specifically if there is trouble. But I am here to tell you that there is still one solution, and that is to speak the name of Jesus over your family, over your circumstances, and trust in our Heavenly Father that His plan is good, and there is peace from above that will soothe over so much in our family life. And so I hope that this has been a good session for our listening audience concerning that we need to deal with a good estate plan and anticipate that we can do things to reduce conflict, and we can start right here and right now by leaving a legacy of spirituality.
People are interested. They know maybe they've got some family conflict and they want to make their estate planning help that, not make it worse. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.